Thank you. We'll wait for something to happen.
There you go.
And I'm happy to be here today. And I have no financial disclosures. Our research team decided to study why teens use indoor tanning, primarily because indoor tanning has been linked with melanoma, especially indoor tanning before the age of 35. And previous studies had showed that teens, especially older teen girls, are using indoor tanning at very high rates. The World Health Organization has recommended banning those under 18 years old from tanning altogether. And so our research team embarked on a study to look at the influences of indoor tanning among teens called City 100. And we did this in the 100 most populous U.S. cities. Our design was cross-sectional in nature. And we used the ecological model to guide what correlates we were exploring, including individual and sociocultural level correlates, environmental level correlates, and policy level correlates. The centerpiece of our study were telephone interviews of 60 teen parent pairs per 100 cities for over 6,000 interviews to look at both the rates of indoor tanning among teens, as well as correlates from both the adolescents and their parents, behavioral and attitudinal variables primarily. At the environmental level, we wanted to look at the availability of tanning facilities or tanning salons, and for that we systematically counted the number of tanning facilities in each of the cities, looked at that number relative to the 100,000 population size to look at density of tanning facilities in the city, and geocoded the addresses of the teens as well as the tanning facilities to look at proximity to individuals' homes of tanning facilities. At the policy level, we analyzed existing state laws, especially those that impacted or were meant to impact youth access, and quantified the stringency of the legislation. We looked at enforcement using key informant interviews at the local levels for each of the cities and states with tanning laws. And last but not least, we assessed the practices of all of the tanning salons in each of the 100 cities by having data collectors who posed as 15-year-old potential customers who would be coming into the tanning salon that day to get at what the tanning facility operator would say in terms of parental consent being required, and how often the teen would be allowed to tan. The first week of tanning, the teen introduced herself as having fair skin and having never tanned before. And just so you'll know, the FDA recommends that they tan no more than 3 times the first week when they have fair skin, and so on. And so I'll get right to the effects of the multivariate analyses, and the outcome of this is whether or not the teen tanned in the past 12 months. And I should mention that our teens were ages 14 to 17. For the individual level predictors, you'll see the variable here, odds, ratios, and confidence intervals. I'm going to go through these rather quickly in the interest of time. As in previous studies, females were significantly more likely to have tanned than males. Likelihood or odds of having tanned indoors increased with age. Whether the parent used indoor tanning was significantly related to whether the teen had used indoor tanning. Our strongest predictor was whether the parent or whether the teen perceived that the parent allows the teen to tan. And just to give you the raw numbers for that, of those teens whose parents allowed them to tan, 22% of them had tanned, relative to 3% of those who said their parents did not allow them to tan. And I'm going to come back to that in the conclusions. And parental concern was significantly related to whether the teen tanned in the inverse direction. Whether the teen perceived their friend's tan was significantly related, and the value the teen placed on the tan was related. There's some other variables at the individual level that also are significant, but in the interest of time, I'm going to move ahead. I'll show you just the relationship of sex and age. And if you see in red, these are males, and this ranged from 2% among the 14-year-olds to 5% among the 17-year-olds, an overall percentage of 3%. And then in yellow, the females, ranging from 9% of the 14-year-olds to 27% of the 17-year-olds for overall percentage of 17%. At the environmental level, the proximity variable, living within 2 miles of a salon, was significantly related to indoor tanning in the multivariate model. Now, all cities salon or density of salons at the city level was a significant predictor in the bivariate analysis, but did not hold up in the multivariate test. And actually, 76% of our teens lived within 2 miles of a tanning salon. If you go out to 3 miles, it goes up to close to 90%. It's hard to avoid them, actually. But for teens having no tanning salons within 2 miles of their home, 7% of them had used indoor tanning in the past 12 months, in contrast to 11% of those that had at least one tanning salon within that 2 mile radius. At the policy level, none of the variables that we looked at significantly predicted indoor tanning. That included whether the state had a youth access law, whether the salon required parental consent, and the frequency that the tanning salon, at the city level, when we aggregate that, the frequency the tanning salons within a city would allow the teen to tan. Tanning salons overall, though, did tell our teen, or our faux teen, that they would need parental consent to tan. 87% of them did. But that percentage was actually higher when the facility was in a state that had a law, and that was had an odds ratio of 0.35 for those in states without a law versus a law. 71% of the salons told the teen that she would be able to tan every day, with the mean being 6. But that was not related to whether there was a law or not. And that's probably because when you analyze the laws, they say nothing about frequency, about being how often that you can tan, which is disappointing that the laws don't have that. Just briefly, a case study in Wisconsin. Wisconsin is unique. This is not an electoral map, by the way. But Wisconsin is unique because at the time we conducted the study, and I think still now, they have the most stringent laws of the 21 states that have youth access laws, and they ban those underage 16 from tanning altogether. And indeed, when our teens or our faux teens phone Wisconsin facilities, 70% of them told the teen that she would not be able to tan at all based on her age, in contrast to 4% of all other facilities saying that the teen would be banned. So in conclusion, parental consent laws seem to be effective, but enough parents are consenting to be helping drive these fairly high rates, especially among the older teen girls. Ohio is in the process of trying to pass a law that would follow the recommendations of WHO that would ban those under 18 from tanning altogether. And the Indoor Tanning Association is lobbying strongly against such a law. With a letter-writing campaign, you know, they say, please put some common sense back into government. Whether or not a teen suntans or indoor tans is a decision for parents, not government. But many of us would disagree with that, especially based on these data. And at the intervention level, intervening at the teen and parent level on a population-wide basis is probably not feasible, nor would it necessarily be effective. So we would proposed to intervene at environmental and policy levels based on our environmental level data. Possibly local zoning ordinances are warranted. The industry not only allows but promotes indoor tanning with all-you-can-tan price packaging. These need to be regulated, as does session frequency, since that directly impacts exposure to UV. But probably most importantly, we need teen bans, like those that have become more progressive, such as France, and at least three of the Australian states have bans. And so I would like to thank my co-authors and our consultants, our funding institute. And if you would like more information, my email address is here. And if you'd like to learn more about the Ohio bill and maybe help with that bill, the website to get more information is up if you go to the section on tanning. So thank you very much.
Do you have any time for a question?
I have time for at least one question, if there are any.
I'll ask you a question.
Okay.
When you, in your methodology, when you were quantifying the stringency of tanning laws, is this a standardized measure that you've used previously, or which particular measure did you use for that?
We developed our own measure of stringency, and through multiple stages, and then subjected it to some validity testing. And we have, if anyone is interested in that, they can contact me and I can refer them to the publication for that.
Okay.
Thank you. Yes, Suzanne. How did we work out what age the research assistants were for the ones that acted as faux teens? We actually did some blinded telephone interviews where they would call us and we would kind of assess if they sounded young enough, but we also had a voice software program and had them give some voice samples, and we had some standardized frequencies that girls in that age range speak, so we can make sure that it fell into that range.
Any other questions?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And our next presenter is Dave Buller.